Welcome to the doghouse as the invasion on our country continues as they allow Warren and Phil back into the country. I did everything I could to stop it, but no, the president decided he
Viva
was.
Viva l'America! Viva America! America.
Warren and I, and Warren's wife and a friend of ours, went and saw a listener in Mexico and saw the eclipse.
I don't think we actually have any listeners in Mexico.
Yes, no, we do.
We have two that I know of.
Did we export a listener? Or did we import a listener?
Why are you saying Mexico, import and export from Mexico?
Well, is it a listener who is a listener?
Anymore, we got the American North American Free Trade Act. We can come and go.
There's no border anymore, Ken.
Yeah, well, that I know.
I will say this, though. It only took us 6.5 hours to drive to Mexico.
Is that right?
About 8 to drive back because Warren needed to stop at every Harley Davidson dealership he hadn't been to.
Well, we skipped one I hadn't been to.
Yeah.
Six hours to Mexico is impressive.
Hey.
Yeah, diesel baby.
You diesel baby.
No, that's speed. That's speed.
Your Tesla would not be able to make it.
No, you couldn't do it.
Not
if you guys did it in one shot. No, we definitely couldn't.
You would not make it to Mexico.
Three quarters of a tank to Mexico from here.
Wow. That's amazing.
Did you
bring any visitors back?
We went to Mexico, New York, which is just north of Syracuse.
I was wondering why you guys were going to head south when the path took it right across New York State. I figured Phil was running from something.
No. We went.
Well, he'd be on his own if that was the case.
Had a great time. It was a fun trip.
That's good. Very good.
Here's what I'm going to say to our listeners, and it's a little late because I'll be dead before the next one, so I'll never know if you'll enjoy this. Even though it got clouded up, like we had pretty good skies until about a half hour before. They were decent, and then it got all clouded up, so we didn't see the ring in totality and stuff. But the whole fact that it went from, like, daytime to nighttime to daytime in about 5.5 minutes was wild.
That's pretty cool.
With a 10-degree temperature drop when it got dark.
Yeah. It was wild, Ken. I've never experienced anything like that.
You were probably too young. Well, I don't know. I think you would have been too young because I was a teenager at the time of the last, I think, total eclipse that was fully total where I lived in, which would have been Northern Virginia at the time.
Yeah, that was like 77 or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I was too young for that.
It's always going on somewhere in the world. People chase those all over the world to do it. But this is the first one where I've actually got to go to where they had totality. So,
yeah.
It was cool.
There you go. Now you both are free to die, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment there, buddy.
I got mine. I got mine. But I was like, at the time, I was like probably like, I don't know, 14 years old. So,
But I'll tell you what, if you get the opportunity, it's kind of wild. We just went, we have a listener that lives up in that area, and he invited us up and stuff, and we kind of hung out there and had a nice big backyard. And the temperature was great for upstate New York. I mean, it was in the 60s.
Nice.
It was gorgeous. The problem was that some clouds blew in off of the lakes.
Yep, it will happen.
Last minute, too. And on the news in the morning when we were at the hotel, it was like, right around eclipse sign, the clouds will be here. They were like, I don't know what to tell you, but, but it was cool. I definitely am glad I went, even though we didn't see the diamond ring and stuff. Definitely glad I went.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We had good friends, good company, good talking. Hadn't been to Mexico since I was a young guy. And
you still haven't been.
Well, no, he was. That pictures.
The last time I was in Mexico was, down the real Mexico. I crossed the border.
Well, I'm sure you did.
We crossed four borders today.
Backstroke or doggy paddle?
Doggy paddle.
Okay.
In a tank. And here's the fun part. And Warren's going to put up some pictures on his blog probably. I just want to ride.com. And I know his Facebook page. But that's the number two people. But the cool thing is right north of the town of Mexico in New York is the town of Texas.
Well,
So we took pictures of the Texas sign.
Of do, like, hey. Do they have
then
a Rio
the Mexican Gran- sign?
Do they have a Rio Grande that runs?
But there was
I'm
a boat
go up there and dig one.
Yeah, no, actually, there was a boat ramp.
There was a boat ramp.
The Mexico boat ramp.
Okay.
So we were prepared to cross the river at that
we
point
were ready.
If necessary.
Yeah.
Well, if necessary.
If you had pictures, you guys, you know, climbing the razor wire, I would have been totally impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, that's such a friendly place. Like, oh, the best thing was, is, and I don't know if any of us got the sign, but we passed a sign that said Mexico, best water in New York State. And I just thought how ironic that was compared to the other Mexico. Yeah. I was like, oh, the irony on that is not
that
lost.
That is true.
But anyways, no, we had a great time, man. We went to that Eclipse. That was cool. I am glad to say that I did that. It was worth.
Yeah, if you haven't seen one before, it's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, I know that's not motorcycle related at all, but
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It would be if we had rode motorcycles up there, but the problem was, it looked like it was, you know, the weather was very iffy. We could have got a lot of rain.
Well, the way the weather's been for the last couple of weeks around here, it's been pretty wet, so it would have been a real crapshoot.
And no lie, like the town, you know, where we stayed and stuff had snow like 2 days before we got there.
Yeah.
You know, it had melted and stuff, and it was, you know, it didn't really stick, but, you know, so it was like a crapshoot. It's like,
Yeah, upstate New York, you can't predict the weather.
It's snow right now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So, but it was cool. It was cool. I will definitely say.
Well, maybe I'll join you in 25 years. If all three of us are alive, that will be a Guinness book thing to actually record.
Well, I mean, you know, the hate burns strong in all three of us, and I feel
that is true.
There's no way the devil's going to be like, yeah, I'm gonna let the three of them in at the same time.
No, they're gonna have to stage it somehow.
Yeah. Got to figure out how to calm one of us.
Some of us
down.
Will have to linger around here for a while.
Yeah, that's going to suck. But
anyways, I volunteer to go last.
Well, that you just doomed yourself. So congratulations.
Yeah, I know. That was the worst thing.
You're the top of the list.
You might as well say it's my championship to lose.
Yeah. Park the motorcycle right now.
Jeez, terrible choice of words. Terrible. Yep. All right, so there was some news, right? I'll give you a couple of a little bit of things and get a little bit of what you guys' reaction is. One, Quartararo came out last week and he's like, I want to go slow.
For the rest
like
of my
Ricky
career.
Bobby wanted to go fast. He's like, I want to go slow. Or I like the money, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
12 million euros.
Yeah.
Which is not
Mark Marquez money, but it's, you know, any of us would turn down.
Now that's money from his team, not from endorsement.
Yeah, not sponsors.
So he's making more money than Bagnaia by three or four times. He's making more than Marquez by about six times.
Now, yeah.
And he's making more money than I think he's the most highly paid racer in the paddock right now
currently because we had checked into it on the show
too.
the Yamaha, if anything's gotten worse, so it's clearly a money play, but I can't argue with that. So
yeah and I don't, you know, I Warren and I on a ride back from Mexico were talking, and he was like, hey, you know, do you think that's going to drive up the prices of other guys signing? And I don't think so. Like, if you're you just say Bagnaia, we're gonna give you this much. No, I want more. They'll be like, I can put any idiot on it and win a championship.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, and then they can just be like, see, I put you on. Oh, and then go.
I agree. I actually think that Lorenzo and Rossi and Marquez, they, I think, actually kind of in a way broke the bank for MotoGP, and salaries have been very stagnant since that time. Marquez was making $20 million a season. Rossi was $14 million at that time.
I know it was over.
He was like $14 million. And Lorenzo was up there in that range too. So I think, you know, we're at the point now. I think you're right. You make a good point about, I can put anybody on that bike with as many Ducatis that are running in the field. People are going to say, I'm not going to pay you that kind of money. Yeah, I don't know what got Yamaha to pay that.
Yamaha needed a rider that had a name.
Yeah, well, they desperately need something
so that they can get sponsorship and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was the only former world champion that was.
How many was it? Was it 2 years or four?
I thought it was two.
You know?
I think it's 2 years.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's another rumor that's floating around the paddock about Yamaha actually getting out of MotoGP. But I don't know if maybe that's something they're thinking about down the road. And they're just trying to pad their money, sponsorship money in the remaining 2 years. Who knows? I'm speculating, but
yeah,
there was a lot going through the paddock, rumors about Yamaha pulling the plug. Because they have not been able to make any improvements in the bike for years.
There's also a few rumors about Suzuki coming back too.
Yeah, but Suzuki's broke. I don't believe that because Suzuki's basically broke. They're basically a broken company, so I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
I mean, the reason they pulled out was that they couldn't get enough money to make it a profitable enterprise.
Yeah, but we'll have to see on that.
Yep.
Announcement number two that I saw was that. There's talks of Joe Roberts moving up from Moto 2 to the Trackhouse bike in MotoGP.
Next season.
But the only reason I think that could be viable is if he's more comfortable on the 1000cc bike than he is on the 686 or whatever the actual cc's the Triumph
786,
is that what it is? But whatever, that's the only reason I could see that being a possibility, because I mean his Moto 2 performance has been very up and down.
Yeah,
very up and down, more down than up actually.
Yeah, but you also gotta consider that bike has been up and down too, so
it's not like I'm sitting there going Joe Roberts is across the field on a crappy bike.
I'm not picking on Joe Roberts at all, but
that's not my mindset.
No, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I was,
and I know
if,
a couple,
I've always track house. If I was track house and I had the deep enough pockets for it, I'd get an experienced Ducati rider before I did that. And there's going to be ones available.
Well, there's a talk that an American team wants an American rider, which I can respect.
I can respect that as well.
Just like an Italian team wants an Italian rider.
I can respect that as well. But they always go with the best rider regardless of the nationality. Yeah. They always do.
So, anyways, that was another big rumor mill, thing floating around. And, you know, there's an article. Who was it? Was it Crash.net, Warren, that had that article about the five riders who were hurting for a seat that weren't sure if they were going to have a seat next year? I think it was Crash.net. And they were talking about, like, Joanne Mir and Augusto Fernandez. And then they said Raul Fernandez. I don't think anybody's giving up on him yet. Augusto isn't as talented as Raul.
No, I think Raul's a talented rider, but he's got to get off an Aprilia, right? He's got to get off an Aprilia. That's killing.
You know, I mean, like, I look at it, I think Supercross and MotoGP kind of have the same problem. There's a lot of talented riders and there's not enough good bikes.
Yep. And I would agree with that.
And that's a problem. You know, and then they mentioned a couple other names, and it's like, I don't really know, you know.
Well, both Raul and Augusto are two.
I don't think Raul's
going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is either. And I think his decision, to take a ride in MotoGP on an Aprilia, I think was going to be like a classic bad decision for MotoGP.
Yeah, and Morbidelli was the biggest name that caught my eye on that list of people who made
Morbidelli shouldn't be in a MotoGP seat. He has no business being in a MotoGP seat. He hasn't been a productive rider since Moto2.
So he'll probably be looking for something.
I thought, to me, Mira.
Yeah, Morbidelli will be in World Superbike just before the shutdown of World Superbike. He'll time it just about right. That's where he's going.
There's a couple articles saying how they thought the Liberty Media purchase was going to help World Superbike. I don't know what it means.
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I don't see it unless we start seeing,
World
Superbike ending their season, because the season keeps shrinking. You know, they raced, and then they took off for a month. They raced, they took off for a month. Now they're going to race and take off for 7 weeks, I believe.
No, I think they race. I think their longest break is like 5 weeks.
The season?
Yeah, because they're going to race like two or three times and then take off like 4 weeks. But they finish early.
I think it's longer than that, but go take a look when you get a chance. Because
I'll look.
I thought it was longer than that. But
I still haven't unpacked from Mexico.
Well, there's also a thing with
got your maracas.
With Sir World Superbike in that Yamaha is dropping the R1s. They can't produce them to meet the emission standards. So for Superbike, I don't know what they're going to have in a next year because the R1's not going to be built, so it's not going to be homogenized. So they're going to have to put it, if they're going to race as a factory team, they're going to have to pull one of their other bikes up to do that. And I don't know if
what other 1,000cc sport bike do they have? None. They don't have another 1,000cc sport bike unless they're going to create a new one. Unless they're going to build a new bike. That's possible.
They may have to because, you know,
They'll drop out.
Yep.
And so, they're dropping out of World Superbike. Why not drop out of MotoGP?
Again, MotoGP costs a lot more money, right? To run a MotoGP because it's
they could reallocate bike. The money from what they were spending for Superbike to GP.
Maybe, but if it's a hole, if it's just a hole you throw your money in, we'll see what happens. We'll just wait and see.
It should. Look
at MotoGP. Let me ask you guys this question. If you were a sponsor looking for a place to put your money, would you put it on Yamaha so you could be in 12th, 14th place on the, consistently?
No. And that's why, they spent the money for a champion, just at least getting a champion to make appearances and product endorsements.
But that's not going to lure.
I might be able to afford a big sponsor.
They want a bike that's got a chance of winning, and it doesn't.
Yeah, well, most of the bikes don't, and they all get sponsors. And what I was going to say there,
most of the bikes are Ducatis, and they do have a chance.
There's 18 riders, and there's 8 Ducatis in the top 10 every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that means there's a lot of other bikes, the Aprilias, Yamahas.
Well, it's KTM and Aprilia. They have a chance of podiing.
I might be able to afford to put it. I just want to ride for a doghouse on the Yamaha next year.
No, I don't think so.
We
can't afford to put it on our own vehicle.
you could be right. It could go. The discounts could get pretty deep.
But here's what I'm going to say, though, is in American racing, we had this guy who was a complete loser for years, Michael Waltrip.
Right.
He got big sponsorship all the time, and that's because although he was a terrible race car driver, I know there'll be people that argue that, he was on TV all the time.
Because he was on
TV
all the
time. He got a lot of coverage. No. He got and sponsors at the end of the day.
I mean,
want winners. They want TV time.
MotoGP
is a two-hour commercial. Yeah. So let's go to Fabio Quartararo. Let's follow him for a little bit. That's what you get for a past champion.
The last name Waltrip had something to do with that.
I think him and wrecking the TV, in the beginning and spending 10 minutes in his interview had more.
I can't argue that point.
And he wrecked early every race when nothing was going on. So they show the crash 50 times. Napa was like, we sell parts. We'll fix that thing.
Hey, look, that's our sticker flying off.
Hey. Wow, he crashed right there at the start finish line in front of one of the cameras. Good job, Michael.
Yeah, great PR. Cared,
right?
Yeah.
And you get that and that exposure. I mean, that's what these guys are buying. They're not buying, I want to win a championship.
Yeah, but
and if they're not buying, I want X amount of TV time, then they really need to look at who's setting up their buying.
Yeah, but I don't think you get that with Quartararo. He's being pretty much ignored, if you've noticed. He's being pretty much ignored
because they talk about him every race.
And he gets a lot of coverage on the grid.
I don't know what you guys are listening to. I don't hear Quartararo's name mentioned.
Turn the volume up, old guy, or get new hearing.
I do turn the volume up. And they're not talking about Quartararo unless he surprisingly does better in qualifying than they expected.
And European media, they cover him more than we're seeing too.
Only in France.
And during the race, they will mention where he is several times during the broadcast. And they will always show him.
Well, there's Quartararo down in 18th place.
They will always show him on the grid, and they'll actually Actually, I think last week they actually interviewed him.
They want to show him because his grid position is so far down. All right. Well, whatever. The point is, he is a past champion, so you can't take that away.
Before we run out of time, because we're cranking along here. Mm-hmm. There's some Supercross news. Something I don't think any of us was not expecting. There's two pieces. Warren, we all said this, so don't act like it was you. Adam C. Cirola announced his retirement, and Jeremy Martin announced that he won't be racing again this season.
Yeah, Jeremy Martin is hurt. He's constantly hurt now. I mean, the Martin brothers, I always said they were two of the hardest racing guys, but you notice one brother's gone and the other brother's injured all the time.
Alex is old. Much. He's the older brother.
Yeah, but there's only 18 months between them, I think, between the two brothers. They're very close in age.
Jeremy is just hurt.
He's just constantly hurt. He just hasn't gotten well, and that happens sometimes. But Adam C. and Cirillo is a relief because, I mean, he gets the pity retirement.
I would drop him. Drop him and bring somebody else in, just start getting him the experience.
Because you don't understand the business.
I think he decided because it was – when you're injured all the time like that, the fun goes out of it. And these guys are into this for the fun.
You're already in for him on the contract. Right. You're not pulling Levi Kitchen or anybody out of Moto 2, out of 250s. So you're not going to be able to put anybody good on the bike. Right. Adam C. and Cirola from here on out is going to get a lot of coverage. It's his last race here. It's his last race there. Maybe he can get a win before the end of the season. He'll get the coverage. He'll get the interview times. And again, just like MotoGP is a 3-hour long commercial, so is Supercross. Farewell tour, right? And in the interviews and the this, that, and the other thing, to the sponsors, worth it. And you're not pulling out somebody. I mean, who do you got to come up? Faulkner? He's broken.
Faulkner
will be racing at the next East.
I think he will regret that coming back so quick.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Right. And you wouldn't pull somebody out in a points race. Right. Yeah. So you're leaving C and Cirola. And if you cut C and Cirola, the moment he announced his retirement and you cut him, you just cut half your fans.
Yeah. That's right. It looks really petty to do something like that.
It's not like I'm prepping the bike. The bike's already prepped for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Where are you going to find a tall, lanky guy that crashes a lot?
I mean, and there's always a chance. I mean, there's always a chance lightning strikes where he could get a podium, and that would be worth money to them. So
yeah, see that.
Yeah,
just can't see it.
Enough crashes go down. Hey, enough people jump the medical flag.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yep. Listen, stranger things.
There
have
are ways. There are ways. It could happen. Not saying it's not a long shot, Warren.
Oh, it's a long shot.
It could happen, and your money's already invested. You've already signed a sponsorship contract, right? So your money's in there. So you might as well play it out for the end of the end of the season.
And I'm sure there are guys there that were like, "I'm sponsoring this bike because I'm seeing Solar's riding it," and you cut him, and now it's like, well, injury's different. Replacing him from injury's different.
Yeah, I'm sure that gives the sponsors him, get it.
They're gonna I want my Cheddar back.
Yeah, yeah, they can.
But you can't do it. And that's a business thing. You're not cutting that guy for that.
It's such bad PR to get rid of a guy after he's announced his retirement.
Drop him. Just drop him. Don't worry about it. Take the hit now.
He doesn't deserve that.
Take the hit now. But then there's one other person got injured we haven't talked about because he's not been around for a while. Andre Divioso, Dovi, he wrecked on the motocross track. Hard hit head injury. It's not life-threatening, but he's been in a hospital for several days. So...
Vicioso, what's he racing? Which
just goes to
he was racing just motocross. Goes
to one more piece of proof that is more dangerous to ride a motocross bike than it is to ride a MotoGP 35 bike.
than a MotoGP bike at 200.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yep. Right. So Supercross didn't race. Nobody raced this weekend, which was a good weekend because of the eclipse. Probably all worried about getting dark and stuff. We got a couple things. I mean. Supercross, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how the week off, if it helped or hurt Jet Lawrence's injury, right, where he's claiming he doesn't really have any.
Are they racing this weekend or is it the weekend following?
No, I think they're racing this weekend, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
I didn't even pull up the schedule.
For some reason, I thought it was like the weekend of the 17th, but I'm not sure if that's
this weekend. We do know that Moto America, King of Baggers, Coda.
Just King of the Baggers. Just King of Baggers is going to Coda right now.
Yeah.
Not Moto America. Not the Superbikes. Superbikes are not going to Coda till the end of the season. It's only then, King of the Baggers.
And then Moto 2, Moto 3, and GP will be at Coda.
I don't know if Moto 3. You sure Moto 3 is going?
I don't think Moto 3.
Yeah. I think they are. But even if they're not, they should be.
Well, yeah, but that's a lot
of money. They don't. Yeah, they don't generally take
Moto 3. They normally don't come there. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't looked. Yeah. You know, here's the question, because Lauren and I were kind of talking about this. Do you pick Marquez?
Just because of his domination at Coda in the past?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's not an automatic.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
It's his first season on the Ducati, so you don't know. He could wreck, during practice and not race at all. So any of them could do that. But I'm just saying, I don't see that he has any advantage because, he did well on the Repsol up to about 4 years ago, right? At Coda. So I don't see it. I will say that he knows that track. Can't argue he doesn't know that track.
Well, the track's been as well as anybody on the grid. They have a new surface on the track now. So part's going to be new to everybody.
Yep. Right. But generally, it's not a good thing.
Even when he had that crappy Honda, he was still up in the top before he would wreck it. Before the bike would try to kill him, he was always at the top at Coda.
Or he ran out of talent.
I think the advantage he had in Coda, and we have to see what the resurfacing did. Coda had well-known problems with waviness in the track at certain areas of the track. And he had adjusted to that, and that seemed to be a big advantage that he had until the later years, right? Until like 2020 and 2021, where he just didn't perform at the track. So, but I mean, they're on the Repsol Honda. Yeah. If I was Joanne Mir, I'd be like, getting one of those funeral.
I would be policies. If I was Mir at Coda, I'd up my insurance. It's a disaster. That Repsol Honda is
maybe worse. It's like the Yamaha. The Japanese bikes, I think, have legitimately gotten worse this season.
Seems that way. Even this early in the season, it seems that they've regressed.
The only thing that I haven't seen, and maybe their goal for this season was just not to throw all their riders off the bike. And they may have actually, but not have them be competitive. Just keep the riders in their seats. They think they're doing better about that.
Yeah. Well, if you kept throwing riders off and getting them injured and hurt, eventually no one's going to want to ride for you.
Well, then you got someone like Zarco, right? You go where the seat is because money in MotoGP, even bad money in MotoGP is good money, right? So
you always have that guy who wants to be, I'm the one who tamed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
Zarco also, he's not riding that hard. You can tell when they show him on the racetrack and he's going, he just doesn't look like he's riding it hard.
He's probably been coached not to. Don't go fast. You just break bones quicker.
Yeah, you're not going to win anyway.
Go slow. It is the Sunday ride.
Stop. Have a coffee.
Yeah.
Cafe.
Smell the roses.
How many of the GP riders come out to watch the baggers go around? That ought to be interesting.
I think that's going to be cool. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
I hope some of those GP riders after the baggers race actually get like a little ride to go around.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I'd vote for Brad Binder. I swear he can ride. He's like another jockey dog. He can ride anything.
They need to do
a bagger race with all the riders from MotoGP. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
A
prototype bagger.
Oh yeah. All for that. Just take the bikes and throw bags on them. Fine with that. I'm going to lean over to the... Oh, no. I'm going to lay into the corner. Not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we'll be back next week when we'll talk more more race. We'll have a lot of racing to talk. We'll probably talk less eclipse stuff, stuff like that. Check out Warren's blog and stuff like that, and his Facebook page for the pictures of going to Mexico. Yep,
I'll probably put them up tomorrow. So ijustwanttoride.com with the number two. I just want number two to ride.
And the Facebook page is what?
You want Josh Aaron to ride? All right, good job, Warren. Hey, we'll be back next week.